Morning, and it's been a real pleasure to be here this morning and listen to your praise reports and your input. That's what praise is all about. I'm glad to see you participating, and I encourage that. Thank you. Well, this morning we're back into James again, finally. Finally get rid of those tired, dusty doctrinal sermons that aren't a lot of fun, but they're a necessary part of what we do. And hopefully this morning, as I go through what I have this morning, you'll see that why they're necessary or why we feel they're necessary. So we're back in James chapter 3. I turned it on and it still don't work. He gives me this thing every Sunday and says, turn it on. James chapter 3, and I've entitled it, So You Want to Be a Teacher. Or it could be you want to be a preacher or a leader or something like that. As you'll see, this word means more than just a teacher, like a school teacher or a Sunday school teacher. And you'll notice that I had James 3, 1 to 12, and as I started studying, that was my intent to go through all 12 verses, but sometime yesterday I realized that there's not enough of time for everything. So we're actually going to look at the first two verses this morning in James chapter 3. Let me read. I'm going to read all 12 verses just so you get the context of everything. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is able to control his whole body. Now, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide the whole animal. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large a small fire ignites. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. For every creature, animal or bird, reptile or fish, is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour forth sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt water spring yield fresh water." Now, I'm kind of disappointed I can't get to the tongue this morning, because that looks like it could be interesting. But as I read this, and all the Bibles I looked in have these all lumped together, and it's all under controlling the tongue. And as I got to studying, I'm like, what does the first two verses have to do with the last verses? And it has a lot to do with it. And I hope to make that connection or start making that connection this morning. And then next time we'll finish that connection. But just to get us started, as I look around what's happening in Christendom or what's happening in the church in America, and it's not just here in Abbeville, but I see a darkness or confusion descending down upon the church. And I'm left bewildered at what I see across the American church. And I scratch my head because I see people leaving the church and not necessarily to go and maybe do what God called them to, but maybe he did. But oftentimes I see it as somebody starting something new. And it's often on the premise that I have a better way. I know how to do it better than where I came from. You might not believe me, but check all the new movements out and see if they're not built on that premise. That I have a better way. And we have people that want to be leaders or preachers or teachers, and maybe God has called them, maybe not, but they become impatient. And I remember when Gary first came here, I had a conversation with him, and he said, Elvin, some of the people that cause the most trouble in churches are people that God has a call in their life, and the church doesn't recognize it and help them reach that call. And those people become impatient and start causing trouble in the church, and they're the ones then that go out and say, I have a better way. I know how to do this. I got this. Maybe God has called them and they are impatient, but they run ahead of God. Because I'm a big believer, people, that the Bible teaches us that leaders, preachers, teachers are first of all in submission to the body where God has placed them before God can use them to their full potential. And personally, this is a personal aside here, I scratch my head because I don't understand their need to lead. But they're all around us. Oftentimes they're kind of arrogant. I got a better way, I got it figured out type of person. And I scratch my head and I tremble. Because I believe there's a huge misunderstanding, or just maybe not an understanding, of this scripture that I just read. Now, I know what it's like to have a calling on my life, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. I know what it's like to have a calling on my life to preach. And yet I can't imagine, and I'm not better than anybody else, but I can't imagine the narcissism of some people that don't wait on the call of God and leave the church and say, I've got a better way to go to do church. Let's look at what the scriptures say. James 3, chapter 1, King James Version says, my brother, be not many masters. Now, what's it mean, not many masters? Well, first of all, what's it mean, masters? The Greek word, you pronounce it, I can't. But here's what it means. It means an instructor, generally or specifically. A general instructor would be somebody that leads by example, which should be all of us, or a doctor, or a master, or a teacher. It's closely related to the office of the bishop, or a leader, or an overseer of the church. So that's what it is. That's how most translators translate this word masters, is teacher, because it's something we can better understand or grasp in our language today. So, it says, brethren, be not many teachers. What's that mean? Many teachers. Can I be a many teacher? And I'm getting a little bit foolish, so we start understanding what this means. Can I be many teachers? No, I can't be many teachers. I can be one teacher. But I can be a teacher of many subjects, okay? So what's it mean? Can be not many teachers. Well, what does, let's see, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, what I read out of, says, not many should become teachers. So, not many should become teachers. Coming a little bit clearer, James 3:1 in Contemporary English Version says, we should not all try to become teachers. Okay, so to me it's starting to get a little bit clearer. It goes from be not many teachers to let's not all try to become teachers. And there's a reason for that. Let's see, I have one more. It says most of you shouldn't want to become teachers, or shouldn't desire become teachers. Most of us. Okay? Now, and just a couple seconds here, I'm going to get into why most of us shouldn't desire to become teachers. But it says most of us shouldn't desire to become teachers. And the desire is the idea that one takes it upon himself to decide if he's a teacher or not. You know, there's a lot of teacher desire in the office to be a preacher or a deacon or a bishop or a teacher of some sort. And there's probably a reason for that, because you're up front, people see you, you get an audience, a captive audience. So it's a human desire is to want that. Okay? So it says you shouldn't desire to be teachers. Most of us shouldn't desire to be teachers. So, but we need to understand something. First of all, let's look at what James is not saying is that if you're called to be a preacher or a teacher or a leader in the church, that you shouldn't desire it, because I think you should. It's a good thing. Tied at 1 Timothy 3:1 says this is a faithful thing. If a man desires a position of it's called a bishop here, he desires what? A good work. So he's saying if you're called, then that desire is a good thing. But if you're not called, it's a bad thing. So, look at this. And he personally, God, gave some to be apostles. Okay, he calls some to be apostles. He calls some to be prophets. He calls some to be evangelists. He calls some to be pastors, and he calls some to be teachers. Now, you could put pastors and teachers, because pastors are teachers. But for the sake of this, we're going to put those two different gifts. Now, God has given these gifts to each of us. Not every one to each of us, but everybody in here got some spiritual gifts. Okay? So if he has given you the gift as an apostle, then you should develop that gift. You should figure that out and develop it. If you've not been called as an apostle, you shouldn't develop it. Okay, as he's called you as a pastor, you should develop it. So he's given us all this, he's given us these gifts for a reason. For the training of the saints and the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now, this is really important coupled with James, because he says, not many of you should desire to be teachers. Here he's saying it's a good thing. God has given us each the gift for the training up of the work of the church, for the ministry. Now, if you look at this in the negative, if we desire and we start thinking that I'm a preacher when I'm not or I'm a teacher when I'm not, that can actually have a detrimental effect on the church. Because if I decide I'm a teacher or I'm a preacher, that lends itself to me becoming conceited, because I think it's something I can do if God hasn't called me to it. Okay? So he's given us all these gifts for building up the church. So then, why this warning in James chapter 3, verse 1? Be not many masters. One of the commentaries I read put it this way. There were many teachers or rabbins, I imagine that's somebody that wanted to be a rabbi, among the Jews. So this problem is as old as history itself. There were many teachers or rabbins among the Jews, each affecting to have the truth, or each claiming to have the truth. And then they would draw disciples after themselves. See, if I decide that I'm a preacher, a teacher, and a leader, and God hasn't given me that gift, and the church hasn't called me out for it, my tendency then is to draw disciples out after myself, instead of pointing people to Jesus. That's not a good thing. Why? Because of the last sentence in this first verse. Knowing that we, who God does call to teach, or God does call to preach, have this huge, huge weight that we carry around. Knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. You know, people, being able to teach and to preach is a great privilege that God has given some of us. And it is a privilege. I do it willingly, and joyfully most of the time. And yet, and I think the others could attest to this, when it's my turn to stand in front of you, there's a big burden that comes over me. Why? Simply because of this. It says, let not many of you become teachers, because we know that we have a huge responsibility to look at the Word of God and rightly divide that. It's so easy to interject my own thoughts into what God says instead of just saying what God says. Jesus said it this way in Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given, there's something he says, I forget what it is, the first, I didn't feel like putting it all in here. But he says, from everyone who has been given much, much is will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Leaders have been entrusted with a huge, huge responsibility. What about this one? Hebrews 13:17 talks about obeying your leaders and submitting to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Brothers and sisters, I fully expect that when I stand before God on the last day, that me and everyone else that God has called to preach or teach is going to be answering some questions that the rest of you may not need to answer. Don't many of you desire to come preachers and teachers and leaders because of the huge responsibility? If God calls you to it, then by all means, embrace it. Someone put it this way. In other words, both God and man will require more from those who have been given more. When God calls a person to a place of leadership, much is required of that leader from God. And when one is given the great privilege and responsibility of teaching the truth of God's word, there is little wonder that God would require a high standard of excellence and faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, I know some of you wonder why I stand so strong on doctrinal issues. This is simply why. I am called to preach the truth of the Scriptures. What you do with it goes home with you. But as a leader, as a teacher, not just here, but this whole premise of much is going to be required. And I'm not going to stand, don't want to stand before God and say, oh, but I thought you would know. So, okay, let's move on. So James has given us this warning to those who would teach and preach here. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. And then he gives us some reason for the warning to leaders. It says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone, he gives us that reason, or stricter judgment, says, for then we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is able to control his whole body. Now, I want you to understand, when this letter was first written, there was no chapter. There wasn't James chapter 1, 2, or 3. There was no verse divisions. That came much later, and it was done so that we could easily find what we're looking for. Okay? So what I'm going to say, it doesn't go against Scripture. It just goes against the way the chapters and the verses were divided, because I think, for we all stumble in many ways. I think these verses should read like this. And if you notice that I put, for we all stumble in many ways, up with the first verse. He says, not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. Now, James is simply reminding us with that simple statement is that if you're called to be a leader and a teacher and a preacher or whatever in a leadership position like that where you're teaching other people, he's saying, be careful, because we're still human. Even though we have a call of God on our life, we're still human. That's what he said. For we all stumble in many ways. So we're human just like the rest of you. The other thing I like about this little phrase here is that it lets me to start bringing the rest of you into what I've just been saying. He's saying, he's not talking just about the people that desire to be teachers, or not talking just to the preachers and the teachers and the leaders, but he's saying, for we all stumble. He's putting us all on the same page. We all stumble. Stumble simply means to trip up. It's like if you're walking down through a path in the woods and there's a stick there that you didn't see and you fall over. That's what the picture is here. We stumble. We trip over something. We all stumble. We all trip up. It's to err or to sin or to fail. So James is telling me it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a leader, preacher, teacher, or whatever else, we all are going to stumble. We're all going to fail. We're all going to sin. We all do this. Then we go right into what causes a stumble. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a mature man. Now, this is the beginning of the next sermon, so I'm not going to say much about it. But most of the time, when we stumble, we trip over our own tongue. Simple as that. Not just the words that we say, but the thoughts, the meanings behind the words, and things like that. You know, people, this subject is so big, or so important, that we are told if we could control our tongues, then we would be perfect people. Imagine that. I think some versions use perfect. This one uses mature. But can you imagine if you could control your tongue? James says you'd be perfect. That's how bad that little thing is in your mouth. But it's an impossibility. And verses then 3 through 12 show us the monumental task that we have in controlling our tongue. But that's for the next sermon. Although it has a lot to do with us wanting to be leaders and preachers and teachers and things like that that we saw in these verses. I don't have time to develop it. Our time's already about gone. But in our remaining time this morning, I want to give some recommendations to those of you that have a call of God on your life. To preach, either to preach or to teach, to lead in some way. And I know you're here. You know who you are. I could maybe point some of you out if you want me to. But this is for you. Some recommendations. So those of you that do have a call in your life, take out your pen and your paper and mark these down. Number one, make sure, first of all, that it's God's call in your life. Make sure that you're either called to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or pastor, or teacher. Okay? If you're not called for that, then this isn't for you. Because God has given you to help keep this church on the right track and to bring us all into maturity. God has given us some of you to come behind us because us are getting older. Okay? So, make sure you're called. Make sure you have the spiritual gift. One of these, or there's some others that I could have put up here, but this kind of embodies a lot of it. Make sure you have one of these. Because God has given it for the training of the saints, for the work. If you don't have one of these and you go after these things, what happens when we lust after the position of teaching and preaching and leadership in those? I've already said it one time, but I'm going to say it again. We operate outside of our gifting. When we operate outside, we start getting into trouble because it starts becoming about us and not about Him. Now, one thing I want to say, I'm not talking about teaching a Sunday school class when you're asked to, and you say, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. I think sometimes for a time we need to say, okay, well, I'll do my best. It's not my gift, but I will take my turn. I'm talking about operating outside of your gifting on a regular basis. Okay? Make sure you're called. You know, I am where I am, and I'm not making this sermon about me, but it's just an example. I am where I am because at a young age, God called me to be a preacher. I don't know, 8, 10 years old. My grandmother placed that in me. And if it wasn't for that call, I would no way be up here. Because I understand James chapter 3, verse 1, and several of the other verses that talk about the responsibility. I wouldn't want the responsibility. So make sure you're called. Number two, be patient. Psalm 37:34 says, wait on the Lord. There are several other passages that talk about waiting on the Lord. But it says, wait on the Lord, and while you're waiting, keep His way. And when you wait and you keep His way, He will exalt you to inherit the land. And when you wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He does exalt you, you will watch when the wicked are destroyed. Be patient. If God has called you, He will confirm that call through the church, through the body where you're a part of. He'll do it every time if you're patient. I know it's not easy to be patient. But I believe God uses us sometimes. See, He called me at a young age. He knew I needed a lot of patience. He didn't call me till I was, about 38 years old. That's a long time to wait. But be patient. Because in due time, He will place you in the position. God uses that to test us. See, if we cannot wait on the Lord to confirm our calling through the body, then we will certainly not have the patience to function in a leadership position. Take it from somebody that doesn't have much patience. It takes a lot of patience to lead, whether it's leading in the workplace or in the church or whatever. Small group takes patience. Does it not, Lyle? But let me encourage you to wait. And as you wait, be busy in the body where God has placed you. Like I said, I got my call at a young age, back in Pennsylvania. We went to Nickel Mines for a lot of years, and about 2 years before we moved here, that church asked us to go to another church. Thinking back, maybe it was for a good reason. Maybe they were tired of dealing with me. But they asked me to go, several of us, to go to this other church that needed help and to help them. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, it's like I didn't really want to because I thought, well, maybe that's where God is going to call me into leadership. I didn't want to. But I went. And through a bizarre turn of events, we ended up here 2 years later. And I think it was for a good reason. Came here, met Gary, started studying under Gary, started being discipled by Gary. But lifelong, almost lifelong process of learning patience and learning to wait. So I would encourage you to wait. Number three, be a devoted student. Yep, I know what I'm saying. I just got through high school. I finished high school. That's good enough for me. If you're going to be a teacher, a preacher, a leader, whatever it is, then you're going to have to be a lifelong student. Not only of the Word, but of history, of humanity, of culture. You have to be lifelong. Leading, teaching, preaching is one of the most draining things, one of the most draining activities that I know of. Because one is always giving in some way, shape, or form. Always giving. There's always kind of this emptying out. And when you become a student, you start putting stuff back in. You can't hardly teach a Sunday school lesson without it first absorbing in, studying, filling yourself up, reading. Readers are leaders and leaders are readers. There's no two ways about it. You need to learn to be a continuous student, a lifelong student of the Word especially. So, start before you are placed into the position. Because once you are placed in the position, you're just playing catch up. And it becomes much harder to prepare to lead. Number four, be under authority. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Or out of reverence to Christ. Submit. Our culture doesn't like that word submit anymore. But put yourself under authority. And submitting is really nothing more than putting yourself under somebody. And here it's saying, submit to one another. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. So if God has a call in your life, you're going to have to learn to submit. Because once you become a teacher, leader, you're not suddenly on your own anyhow. There's a lifelong, you're always submitting to somebody. Be under authority. Choose to place yourself under a biblical authority. This is not just so somebody can lord it over you, but it's simply a safeguard. When you willingly place yourself under somebody and said, I give you the right to speak into my life, to pull back on the reins, to whip you when I need to, or whip me when I need it, it's a safeguard. It's saying, Elvin, what did you mean when you said, or what kind of teaching is this that you have? What are you doing? We all need to submit under somebody. And when we do that, we're simply recognize what James is trying to tell us in chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. It's recognizing that, yes, God has called me to be a teacher, preacher, leader, whatever. But I'm still human, and I will still fall, or have that tendency. When we recognize our fallen nature and our propensity to sin, the need for others to hold us accountable, is then. And only then that God can use us. So, you want to be a leader? Make sure you're called. Be patient. Be a devoted student. And put yourself under authority. I'm convinced that the spiritual darkness that's coming across, not only here, but across the church in general, the confusion that I'm starting to see is simply these things. We have people that are called, but they're impatient. They're not true students of the Word. They refuse to put themselves under authority. And I shudder because of this small statement, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. May the Lord raise up many leaders out of this church. Whether Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, care group leaders, missionaries, preachers, teachers, whatever, leadership board. May He raise you up. And may you, the ones that have the call, put these four ideas into practice. There's probably others that we could have looked at. And then when the Lord calls you, you're ready to go. Whatever the Lord calls you to do, do it with all that He gives you. Would you stand for dismissal, please? God in heaven, we come to You. And again, thank You for the principles that we find in Your Word. God, You didn't put them there just for filler. But God, You put them for a reason. God, would You settle these two verses, these two short verses this morning that we looked at, into our hearts and the principle that we find there. And the simple principle is simply, as I see it, not to run after a leadership position unless You call us. God, I know that You have called several people, maybe many people out of this congregation. You have placed a call in their lives and they know it. So God, I pray for them. God, I pray that they would be patient and that they would be able to clearly discern what call You have. And God, that they even now become students of Your Word and of culture and of history and of early church history and all these things. And God, that they would willingly place themselves under the authority of each other and under the leadership. God, I pray for them. God, would You keep them? And then, God, I pray for people to speak into their life, or even that they would speak to somebody else and ask for a confirmation of the call. And then, God, would You be clear in where You want them to serve? God, they're Your people. Would You speak? We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's one thing I meant to say as I was praying. I thought about it. If you do have a call, it is okay to go to somebody and say, you know, I think I have this call. Could you help me pray with me about it and discern if this is just if this is a call in my life or if it's just something that I have. So it is okay. I know in our history we haven't been okay with that, but just know that it is okay here to go to somebody and say, I think I have this call. Help me discern it, please. God bless you. Have a great day.